Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. According to what I've just been told, here's the podcast for the Early Morning Late Show. Enjoy our conversations. Good morning. It's 4 minutes after the hour, and happy Monday, October 30th. So glad you joined me this morning. Hope you had a nice weekend. We've got a great show coming up this morning. My dear friend and colleague, Patrick Albanese, is going to be with us in just a few minutes. We're going to hash over what headlines are worth hunting over the weekend. And then Karen Ellis is going to be with us. And then we've got a very special second hour coming up today. We're going to spend an entire hour with Dr. Bruce Ashford and Dr. Peter Kapsner. We're going to talk about the evangelical and the transgender issues. It's going to be probably more of an adult conversation, so you'll need to get ready for getting the house clear to the little ears, but it'll be a good hour and a great show. In Psalm 19, chapter 19, verse 14, it says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." That is a good verse of the day. And then in Alexandria, Virginia, the church where George Washington worshipped for decades says it's going to remove a memorial honoring him. Christ Church says it's planning to remove the memorial to the nation's first president and one to Robert E. Lee. Church leaders say the memorials are divisive and make some members and visitors feel like they're not welcome at the church due to Lee and Washington's history as slave owners. So I think if I'm visiting that area and I go into the church where George Washington sat, I don't think I'm turned off. I think that's kind of a cool deal. But anyway, that's just one opinion, and we live in a world of 7 billion people. You probably don't need another opinion. That's why I love God's word. That's why I love Psalm 19:14. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." We'll take a break and then bring Patrick Albanese on. And what is it like to spend an entire day with two Hollywood legends? What would that be like? Well, Patrick's going to tell us because he did that last week. Be back in a minute.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Do? Why, if I had a brain,
I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain.
Good morning. It's 8 minutes after the hour. I have my friend and colleague Patrick Albanese on the studio line, my Monday morning guest. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning. It's the studio line. I love being on the studio line.
Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Well, I was telling our audience that, you know, oftentimes we have a chance to have a kind of a vicarious experience by hearing what someone else did. And you had the opportunity over the weekend to spend it with a couple of Hollywood legends. You were with them all day. What was that like?
Well, and of course, I don't want to divulge the names.
Not yet.
Let's just call one of them Steve.
Okay.
And, you know, in case people are curious, Steve was not the jerk that you think he might be because of his fame. And in fact, you know, I picked him up on the tarmac and I said, "My goodness, you've been everywhere today." He says, "Yes, I've been on planes, trains, and automobiles just to get here today." Anyway,
are you going to finally say who it is?
Let's put it this way. If you couldn't figure it out from those lame clues, you're not a fan of Steve Martin, and Martin Short was the other guy. I didn't. And when you say spend time with them, I chauffeured them around.
I get that.
Basically from hotel to theater to hotel to theater to airports.
But not a lot of people, you know, drive alone in a car with Steve Martin and have conversation with him. So that was kind of fun.
No. And, you know, we covered some pretty important topics like, you know, what kind of fake fingernails do you use? As
a banjo player, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it was actually, we talked about that he uses acrylic nails, not gel. So for you banjo pickers out there, Steve Martin, a fantastic banjo player, acrylic nails is the secret.
Wow.
And 40 years of practice. But other than that.
Yeah. And I did, you told me some of the opening jokes, which I loved. I loved the one about see them before they're, before they die.
See them before they're dead, yes. They had these opening slides to their show. It said, you know, tonight, Steve Martin and Martin Short, and by contract, Martin Short and Steve Martin.
Oh, that's so funny.
Obviously a battle over who gets top billing, and they played – they did a lot of jokes on the fame, and, you know, in a way, they talked about the arrogance that can come from being in such a high, a lofty position of fame, and how needy sometimes celebrities can be. And it's interesting as we see all this stuff, like the Harvey Weinstein and Kevin Spacey comes out with some, you know, bombshell stuff today, and you think these people live in protected bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
In just one day of, you know, being around them, I thought, my gosh, you have to live in a protected bubble, especially the more fame you have. Folks, it's a curse. By the time I got done with my 17 hours of shuttling people around, I said, I could not live like that. Yes, I would like to have, you know, enough money to put gas in the maid's Ferrari. Mm-hmm. I would like that. But, you know, at some point, it's like they're just, you know, adding piles of money on top of the piles of money, and all it does is help fortify, you know, it helps build that fortress around them because they can't do anything. In fact, when I picked up Steve Martin on the tarmac, and I had to pull the, you know, they have you pull the car right up to the plane because he can't risk, you know, not only walking through an airport, but this is a private jet landing. He can't even walk through the lobby of the private jet landing. It's like, it's just easier to get right in. He hops into the back of the vehicle, and first thing he does is puts up a newspaper because it's – you can't even take a risk that the driver is going to say, oh, my gosh, it's – I want to talk to you
right.
about fingernails or anything. And you realize, well, you just got off a plane. You've been on for a couple hours, and right now you're deciding to read that newspaper? You go, no, it's a cover. It's – he has to, mm-hmm. and that's his day.
And, you know, as a performer, it's pretty nice to walk on stage and have the performance start with a standing ovation.
Yeah, it began that way. He walked out standing ovation. Martin Short walked out standing ovation. And the Steep Canyon Rangers, which is the bluegrass band that he works with, oddly enough, maybe not a standing ovation, but when they were announced, maybe one of the biggest responses of the night, which was really encouraging to think that the audience wasn't just there to see the two celebrities. They were pretty excited about the band.
Mm, very, very so. Cool. Yeah. And then what did you walk away with when you look at what their lives have become and how cool it is that they're big stars and they've entertained people for decades? But, I think of Mark 8:36, what profits a man to win the whole world yet lose his soul? I'm not saying they're soulless, but I know that Steve Martin has really drifted spiritually and is kind of semi-agnostic and philosophical, and I just think you couldn't give me any of that in exchange for my eternal security, not for a second.
No, it's easy to see how that can, you know, happen to somebody who, you know, has a substantial amount of wealth, and suddenly they're in a position where it's like, you know, what can God even do for me? They don't think eternally. They think, I have everything. I mean, you know, I want a cup of coffee. And I say, I don't even like the coffee they have here, but they have a fantastic coffee shop in Seattle. If you could just hop on a jet, go there and bring some back. And you could probably get somebody to do that. And that's going to taint, I think, the way that you look at the entire world. I don't think I was expecting to walk away from any kind of experience like that thinking, you know, that's the life I want to live. I realize how grateful I am that, you know, something like that didn't happen to me, that I was blessed with nowhere near the talent level needed to achieve that type of fame and success, because I go, you know, you'd be a different person. I would be a different person. And you don't really know for sure if you would like the outcome. It's an isolated world. I mean, I'm sure he doesn't want to trade places with anybody, but I bet every now and then both of these guys for a couple of days would love to be able to just walk to the local coffee store and pick up a coffee without being assaulted. I had to circle a building 8 times trying to shake off autograph hounds. And they were running around this building. And, you know, I don't know if I actually caused some people to actually have a heart attack. I'm not entirely certain. But these guys probably ran more that day, chasing me around a building, following the SUV to see if they could pick the door that these guys were going to exit by before I took them to the airport. And they have to run this gauntlet every day. I couldn't live like that. And no. I just.
Yeah, exhausting.
Good life. It's exhausting.
Well, I just wanted our listeners to hear some of your experience. I found it to be fascinating. And, you know, we talked about this a little bit over the weekend, how it's, again, it's nice to have fame and fortune, but at what price? And these guys pay a big price.
They pay a big price. And you know, I once had to take him around the Magic Castle in Hollywood years ago. And this is a place where you get left alone. And I still had to do the slide you in the back door so nobody can bother you trick because he's too famous. And, you know, what have we always said? You want enough fame where you could maybe get a table at a nice restaurant and hopefully have somebody else pick up the check.
That's
all you want.
That's all you want. Patrick, let me take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue our discussion. Talking to Patrick Albanese, 16 minutes after the hour. We'll be back in a minute.
Christians have their hymns and pages.
Hymns and pages.
Hava Megillahs for the Jews.
For the Jews.
Baptists have the Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages.
Atheists just sing the blues. Romantics play Clair de Lune,
Clair de Lune.
Born again, sing he is risen. But no one ever wrote a tune for godless existentialism.
For atheists,
there's no good news.
They'll never sing
a song of faith.
Good morning, 19 minutes after the hour, speaking to Patrick Albanese, my friend and colleague from prestigious West Des Moines. And we were talking about Hollywood celebrities. Patrick, the Fonz is 72 today. I don't know if that makes you feel old or if you didn't need that to feel old.
I did not need that. Just adds.
That just adds, doesn't it?
You added a decade. You know, it's, last week, Mrs. Cunningham turned 89.
I know she did.
Ross.
I know.
Yeah.
So, and Mr. C is gone.
Yeah. It seems like every year, all of them from that show have a birthday. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know.
I worked with Don Most once. How about that?
Well, I have nothing to say to that. That's nothing to be proud of.
I know. Tom Cruise once said to me, don't go name dropping.
Exactly.
We were having with Spielberg and Scorsese. He says, the name dropping thing, you just got to.
Got to drop
anyway,
it.
I got to stop it.
So let me ask you this. The greatest number of football players still taking a knee is the San Francisco 49ers. Their record this year, 0-7.
I don't know.
Connect any dots. They're out there. Go ahead.
Yeah. What else are they going to do? It's the only play they have. But unfortunately, you know, like everything else, they seem to run on the field. Everybody sees that play coming. So
that's true.
Nobody's watching them. You know, their stadium is kind of emptying out. It's as if, you know, Joe Montana drops back the pass and Jerry Rice is going long. You're thinking, I got a pretty good idea what's going to happen here. Except they always connected. And now we have, it's like, oh, the 49ers. Let me guess. They're going to kneel. So I'll skip watching the anthem. And they're making it so easy for people to skip going to the stadium. So I don't know what they're hoping to accomplish because it's like they built up, you know, this position, this lofty position of professional football player. It's like, now I'm going to make a statement and nobody's watching.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have to try something else. And, you know, it's, I think people will never tire of being tired of this.
Mm.
I don't think we're just going to suddenly say, well, this is just this is how it is. So we'll just put up with their kneeling. I think people will continue to revolt. I don't see this thing stabilized. I don't think people will just suddenly start accepting it. They're going to say, nope, I won't watch. not necessarily the whole game. Maybe I'll watch the highlights, or maybe I'll tune in after you do your demonstration. But
yeah,
nope. And it's, I think they're forever tainted with being, you know, it's
not to mention San Francisco is a weird place. I was there 1 year at Halloween, and the scary part was it was July 9th.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think I've been there. I know they have. In fact, there was the one district, which, you know, so funny, people say, well, there's the district that's predominantly gay. And you say, I thought that was San Francisco. But it was, I think, the Castro district, mm-hmm. district, and a lot of same sex couples moved in, and they really transformed it and turned it into a very, very nice place to live. I think it was kind of on its last legs. And so they said, we'll fix it up. And they did a marvelous job. And what happened is straight couples looked at it and said, we'd like to live here because it's so nice.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even a great place to raise kids. And they're like, we don't want straight people here. We don't want children here. And suddenly they tried to exclude people like that. You go, it's, you know, the only place where that type of attitude would be considered not only normal, but, you know, yeah, acceptable. Absolutely. You know, we don't want you here.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, strange place.
Yeah. The first arrests are in with the Russian investigation, and Mueller is going to be announcing something today. But we really don't know who it is or what they're being charged with.
We don't know. And it's funny watching some of the pundits on TV saying things like, well, whoever it is and whatever they did, they're looking at 20, 30, 50 years in jail.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, wow, okay. You know, for all we know, he's handing out a jaywalking indictment. So 50 years seems steep. I paid $96 for my jaywalking ticket, mm-hmm. which I thought was steep, but 50 years. So, you know, you think either these people who are reporting that have some inside information that was leaked to them, they have a little bit of inside information that the grand jury has sealed an indictment, and they're not supposed to have that inside information. So there's already an illegal leak going on in Mueller's FBI. He obviously has no control over his own investigation, where they're doing illegal leaks that there's an indictment coming down.
Mm-hmm.
And so you wonder, gosh, they did that on Friday. So you get the whole weekend news cycle. It's a typical political ploy. You either, if you want people talking about things all weekend, or if you want something to disappear, Friday's the magic day. Late Friday, if you want it to disappear from the newspapers, early Friday, so you can get the cauldron cooking and have people talking about it all weekend. And that's what Mueller did. So he used a political ploy and leaked information. Did he do this? Did he just take attention away from, hey, guess what we found out last week, everybody? Hillary Clinton paid for the dossier.
Mm.
So here's what we know. For a year, they've been investigating whether Trump colluded with the Russians. And what they found out is that Hillary colluded with the Russians to make it look like Trump colluded with the Russians. And now the only reason we have Mueller investigating anything is because of the supposed Trump colluding with the Russians. And it was Hillary. And that's called opposition research now. And I go, I'm completely confused. Is he taking attention off of this? Does this eventually go on to the failures of the FBI, the CIA, all our intelligence agencies? Or was everybody kind of working together on the Democrat side with the spy agencies to bring down Trump? It just looks really bad.
You know, if Hillary just sort of would have gone away and just lived her life, I don't think any of this would have come up, because all of this was predicated on the fact that she was going to be in office.
Yes. And so they thought they could cover it up. So you think there's only a couple of possibilities as I see it. And, you know, I must remind you, I spent some time with Steve Martin and Martin Short this week. And so that does up my opinion.
It does.
Yeah. But you think, well, OK, she either has such a fragile ego that she couldn't make it look like she just plain lost the election. But, you know, she did lose to Barack Obama, and she was going to lose to Bernie Sanders, and they had to rig it for her to win. And the Clintons, let's not forget, Bill Clinton was one of the guys that helped talk Trump into running. OK, and the media protected Trump until he was the last man standing. They gave him billions of dollars worth of free publicity till he was last man standing. Hillary Clinton wanted to run against Trump, so she lost to him. So, you know, they tried to set up a gimme, an easy, you know, open net goal, and she missed. Mm. She whiffed.
Yeah.
So maybe her ego is fragile enough where she said, well, it's got to be because of something else. Or they're covering up a big beast of some sort of collusion with the Russians and a lot of other bad things that were going on that they thought they'd continue to be able to kind of smother with a pillow as long as she was president. So it's going to be interesting, and I don't know who Mueller's going to indict. I'm still trying to find out the crime that Donald Trump committed, other than running for president. I know that was a crime.
That was a crime, indeed.
It was illegal in some states.
We'll be curious to see what Mueller comes out with today. Patrick, as always, great to talk to you on Monday mornings. Thanks so much for being on the program, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Talk to you soon.
All right, have a great day. It's 27 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break, and then we'll go to Lighten Up with Ken Davis. Be back in a minute. Good morning. It's half past the hour. We're going to take a little break for news, and when we come back, Karen Ellis is going to be with us. And Karen Ellis's word of the day is cynicization. I should have rehearsed that before I said it. Cynicization. I don't even know what it means, but we'll find out. Be back in a minute.
Hi, I'm Ted Ross with the Faith in Life Minute. If you and your family are running from one activity to the next, listen to this encouragement from Dr. Linda Mental on how to slow down and get balance back into your life.
If you're just running from activity to activity and you just feel like you're the taxi cab mom or dad who's just constantly on the run and it's too much, then a lot of times I'll say to families, just cut something out. Just decide you're not going to do it. Learn to say no and bring back the family meal. If the schedule is so crazy that people can't even eat one meal together, you really need to rethink that, because the benefits of eating a meal together are absolutely astounding. If you did that, your kids would do better with nutrition, with academic performance. They have a lower risk for delinquent behavior, and that really seems to me like a really small price to pay for some really big results that can make things so much better in your family.
Find more healthy tips for your family from Dr. Linda Mental at myfaithradio.com.
Good morning. It's 24 minutes until the top of the hour. No matter what your life experience is or has been, joy is still possible for you. Kay Warren says, even if you grew up in a joyless home, joy can still come to you.
Again, it's an external, and it can't be an excuse for us to say, well, I didn't see it modeled. I didn't live with a home that had a lot of joy. In fact, I lived with the reverse of that. And then somehow think that joy is outside of our reach. When we think that joy is outside of our reach, that can be a really bleak place to be. And to understand that the people in the Bible who represent joy to us, who teach us about joy, whose lives are examples of joy, many of them did not have good circumstances. They had a lot of pain. They had a lot of struggles. And yet they were able to choose joy. And I think that Jesus' life is probably such a great example of that. Jesus suffered greatly, and yet he was a man of joy. And that gives me hope. It gives me hope. It's like, okay, so my circumstances don't have to have been perfect. My life doesn't have to have been perfect. I don't have to have had, you know, the most amazing circumstances before I, too, can access a life of joy.
Good word, Kay Warren. I think of what Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. If you want to hear all of Kay Warren's interview, go to myfaithradio.com and type in Kay Warren. Next up, Karen Ellis from International Christian Response is already on our studio line. Cannot wait to talk to her. Be back in a minute.
Are we to ignore the fact churches are closing in rural communities across the country? I don't think so. This is Jim Garlow remembering the Protestant Reformation. When people ask me, where are you from? I often answer, I'm from a state you once drove through or flew over. Where's that? Kansas, I respond. And as I visit family and friends, I see churches either shutting down or combining with others just to survive. Across rural America, the heartland, there are communities now without pastors who are clearly explaining from the pulpits how to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. My dream is to get the gospel reestablished in these communities, to have a rented video venue where the worship is live on-site, but the sermon is by video, and a volunteer site shepherd to serve in many ways as a pastor would serve. Pray with me and stay tuned. This dream is becoming a reality.
Good morning. 20 minutes until the top of the hour. Karen Ellis from International Christian Response is my guest this morning, and she has challenged me with the new word of the day, which is cynicization, which you almost have to practice a couple of times before you say it in front of a microphone, Karen. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yeah, you don't want to get your S's and your C's in the wrong place.
No.
Oh, wait a minute, it's the same sound.
No. So let me try this. Cynicization may refer to policies of acculturation, assimilation, or cultural imperialism imposed by China onto neighboring East Asian countries.
Wow, you went and did some research.
Well, quick research.
Man after my heart.
Thank you, Karen. So in other words, they're trying to get them to accept their culture, even though they're not part of the country.
Well, that's interesting that you should frame it that way, because the way that cynicization is working right now in terms of what the Chinese government is trying to do is they're trying to cynicize religion. So it's interesting that you frame it as two different countries, but because there actually are, if you think about the kingdom of God as one kingdom and the Chinese government as an earthly temporal kingdom, yeah, you could actually frame it that way. The way it's being framed now is the government wants to cynicize religion, means they want to promote and guide religion that they believe is Chinese in orientation, according to how the government, frames religion. But the religion that they're actually promoting is the religion of the party. The Christianity of the underground is the truly Chinese church, which, you know, Christ has expressed himself in an amazing way through this culture of the Chinese people, through people who know and love him. That's actually Chinese Christianity. So what's happening in this cynicization movement, despite China's constitution that stipulates that all Chinese citizens actually have freedom of belief, and they haven't as yet forbidden specifically children from attending worship services, there's been a report by some folks at China Aid, their 2016 annual persecution report, that was detailing a major shift that happened earlier this year. And the restrictions on children in particular are changing. And, oh, my gosh, thank the Lord for folks like China Aid who study these policy shifts in the region and keep us posted on what's happening. They're good people. And they anticipated back in February, March, that the Chinese government's approach to religious policy was going to lead to further persecution, and that's exactly what's beginning to roll out. They've been tracking this thing for a while, and a recent conference that was held last April, April before last, where Chinese President Xi Jinping emphasized the importance of religions must persistently follow this path of cynicization. So they're framing it as a way of harmonizing church and state, but they're actually pivoting on the fact that using religions based abroad, that Christianity is actually undermining the authority of the government. So they're making sure that religious institutions, house churches, are going to be subject to even tighter government oversight. They're going to try and force them to fit into this agenda of cynicization that's been implemented by the Chinese Communist Party. Hmm. If you're not a part of the three self-government sanctioned church, you're under deep suspicion and probably likely to be shut down.
Well, I've been under deep suspicion my whole life, so that's nothing new.
But not like this, though, but I can tell you.
Okay.
Okay, so people are seeing this as a regression into a more Maoist-style regime, and conditions are getting worse and worse and worse. Of course, religious practitioners, especially Christians, are now being asked to choose specifically between compromising their deeply held beliefs and how they want their children to understand Christ, or break the law and suffer the consequences. So this is a major shift in how things are going in China right now. And I guess you have to ask yourself, why kids, right?
Well, yeah, go after the young ones. That's the best place to start whenever you're trying to implement anything.
Right. Why do you think?
Kind of early, Karen.
Capture the children. You capture the culture.
Okay.
And, you know, this is, it's very, very difficult to live under these kinds of systems with constantly changing rules. The stress and the instability of living under a totalitarian system where the rules are changing constantly, it makes a lot of stress. If the rules are constantly being changed, you have no sure footing to stand on from day to day. You're always walking on eggshells and concerned you'll break the rules. And even and how the rules change from region to region and how they're practiced from province to province change. Some areas have less restrictions. Other areas have more harsh restrictions. As I mentioned before, they've recently been targeting these house churches through the children in a couple of different ways. And so you've got this battle going on between indoctrination and education. And so one of the first things that China Aid has noted is they've got this increased restriction and crackdowns on any kind of religious education that would include things like Sunday schools, summer vacation, and summer camps. The government is now saying that all that activity has got to stop. All Sunday school classes outside of the Three Self Church movement, the government-sanctioned church, are now prohibited. Their intention is to shut down these Sunday schools and the house church activity. Now, they're saying that the reason that they've shut them down is the weather gets too hot in the warm months. The weather hasn't really been an issue before in the past. The police have been visiting unregistered church members at their homes to warn them not to attend non-sanctioned worship services. A large number of folks have been detained for questioning. Christians have been asked to write letters saying that they won't attend unauthorized church services. And of course, all that is kept on file. Children are specifically now prohibited from attending church services. Churches have been told to cancel all their activities that involve teenagers. And the goal is clear. The goal is to eliminate all house church activity.
Wow.
It's not just, yeah, it's painful.
Oh, is it
it's
ever
really
painful?
Painful?
Yeah.
Because when you start, you go after. I'm telling you, I'm Mama Bear.
I know you are.
You know, I've got grown kids, and I'm telling you, you go after them, and you start limiting what they can do and how they can express how they believe. I get really angry.
Yeah.
So you can imagine how much pain this causes for families and the choices that they're having to make. And of course, the government knows that. It's not just the little kids that they're targeting, Bill. They're also targeting the older students. About a year ago, Chinese students were attending Christian house churches in one province. They were being threatened by the government authorities who told them, if you don't stop going to church, you won't be able to go to college and you won't be able to serve in the military.
Wow. That gets their attention.
Two major choices for future limits of their trajectories of income earning potential as adults. This is an enormous life choice.
Mm. Karen, let me take a quick break, and when we come back,
mm-hmm.
I want to ask you, what should we be watching for on the nightly news regarding this, and how do we pray for the workers and the leaders in China? We'll be back with Karen Ellis in just a minute. Karen's from International Christian Response. You're not going to want to miss her response in just a minute. Good morning. It's 10 minutes till the top of the hour. I have Karen Ellis on our studio line as our guest from International Christian Response, and we are talking about Sinicization in China. And I'm so pleased I got that out without stumbling.
It's a tricky one, isn't it?
Oh, is it ever? Especially on a Monday morning with limited coffee.
Oh yeah. You got to get the coffee pumping.
Yeah. But Karen, as we watch the news regarding this, well, what should we be looking for? What should we watch for?
Right. So the current administration is beginning its tour of Asia, and they have said that they want to more closely address the persecution of Christians around the world. I think you can't, you can't bring China into the equation without asking, is this happening? Is this, is this being addressed? Is this even on the table? as they discuss issues with major players in that region and in that area, because these are, you know, according to the United Nations, these are human rights violations, according to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. I think we need to pray and watch carefully as China becomes more and more of a major player in our nightly news. You want to keep these things in mind as you watch the news, because all that's being shown is not the whole picture. President Xi Jinping was elected president in 2012. He has gained a lot of political power. He's considered the most powerful communist leader since President Mao. And it seems that he's intent on recapturing a lot of Mao's purpose and intents for China with a splash of modern Western culture on top. Analysts say that his power and his influence is going to mark China long after his eventual retirement. Those are the kinds of changes that he's implementing. And also, he's laid out his vision for his future during a week-long Congress that was held recently. He's going to focus on leadership and discipline, reform and development, national security, national pride, ideological confidence, and, of course, government control. I've actually heard some analysts wryly joke that this is his Make China Great Again program. And some of the plan sounds good on paper.
Mm-hmm.
China's wealth is definitely increasing. But as with most totalitarian regimes, the question is who's going to benefit most from these changes and who's going to pay the high price in terms of freedom and life. Underground churches, we know, are growing rapidly in China. But they've been raided. Pastors have been arrested. Rooftop crosses have been removed and taken down. Human rights activists have been harassed and tortured under his leadership. And all of this is aimed at suppressing the rise of Christianity in the country. Protestants have suffered. Catholics have suffered. Catholics and Protestants are holding their collective breaths in regards to the future. There have been hundreds of arrests and detentions under his administration. So I can, let me just read you really quickly a letter, an excerpt from a letter from Chinese Pastor Yang, who is in chains for the gospel, and he sent these words to his wife that are actually published on our website. And I think it captures the spirit of what's going on there from inside. Our wonderful God, our Lord forever, he writes, who can guess his wisdom and mystery? Our faith is built on his words. He never changes and never does wrong. This is the unchangeable maxim. Sometimes somebody will decide, he writes, something by guessing and then testing their theory, but we don't. We listen to God and less to human beings. Never be dejected and despondent. Always look up at our Lord and always keep the spiritual life above the chaos of the real environment, he writes. Rest in God's arms. Some rely on chariots, some on horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. Be upright and take care. Be prepared for the rest of the road. So, you know, they're holding on, but they need our prayers.
Mm-hmm.
They need our prayers. We need to be aware of what's going on underneath and above the news.
Mm-hmm.
We need to dig tunnels underneath, and we need to have the transcendent perspective of God, how God sees the news, how he sees how the news affects his people around the world.
Right. Well, Karen, two things you can read to us any morning, just so you know.
I'll be back.
And number two, do we not have the International Day of Prayer this weekend, which is actually a nice little dovetail into praying for China as well? Tell us about the International Day of Prayer.
Actually, it's, you know, we don't limit it to a day. I say take the whole month. If it doesn't happen November 5th or November 12th, you've already got something going on in your congregations on those days. Take the other days in the month.
Yeah, or
the international month.
Or make it a 365-day month.
You are smelling what I'm cooking. That's
exactly
where I was going. Take the whole year. The first thing you should do on the International Day of Prayer as a congregation is pray. The second thing you should do is pray. And then the third thing you should do is pray.
All right. I like that recipe.
It's easy to remember, isn't it?
It is.
What's happening to the church around the world is no joke. So pray and fast as a church community. Pray and fast in your small groups. If your church is, you know, they've got everything planned out for the month, pray and fast in your small group. Consider as a group adopting a church planner. If you want to make this a 365-day out of the year thing, you can do this through International Christian Response, ICR USA. Just go and Google it. The website is christianresponse.org. In all these countries, even the smallest monthly gift goes a long way to providing resources that underground leaders need, from legal aid to the provision of Bibles to educational resources to leadership training to the creation of safe houses. And, you know, it's always amazing to me, just even looking at China in particular as a case this morning. On the one hand, you have all these people with all the weapons and all the political power and all the resources, and they're terribly afraid of this group of people who have none of those things.
Wow.
But what they do have is something far more powerful than any king or kingdom can wield, and that's the power to transform hearts. And it underscores for me that our weapons, Paul, our weapons are not of this world. The Apostle Paul knew that people feared true Christianity, the Christianity modeled by Christ and carried out by the church through the ages. It doesn't seek political power or cultural power, but it finds peace and power in its powerlessness.
Well,
and the power of Christ from underneath society is a fearsome and powerful thing.
Well said, Karen. I'm standing up and cheering.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
The coffee is moving now.
It is indeed.
The coffee is getting you going.
Thank you so much for being a guest this morning, and I'm already looking forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, Bill.
Yep.
I am too. We appreciate you so much. God
bless. God bless you too. It's 3 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a short break. Got a very interesting second hour coming up. You're not going to want to miss this discussion. Dr. Bruce Ashford, Dr. Peter Kapsner, we're going to talk about the transgender issues. We're going to spend the whole hour doing it, so it's not to be missed. Get ready to pick up the phone and give us a call as well with your questions or comments. Be back in a minute.
Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.